On March the 31st, the deadline closed. Non-binding bids for NBA Europe due by midnight Eastern Time. Speaking to sources close to the process, the crossover understands that the NBA received multiple bids in the range of $500 million to $1 billion, including several that were above the billion-dollar mark. There was competition across all 12 target cities from existing clubs, outside investment groups, and high net worth individuals, and existing EuroLeague teams were among the bidders. Let that land for a second. EuroLeague teams, the clubs tied to the competition that threatened to sue the NBA over this project. They have now submitted bids to join it. The Athletic's Joe Vardon has since put names to the money. The Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund for London, Qatar Sports Investments, who own Paris Saint-Germain, the football club, have bid for Paris. Redbird, who own AC Milan, bid for Milan. And Gazzetta dello Sport reported that Oaktree, who own their rivals Inter, submitted a competing bid in the same city, a Milan derby, for basketball. In Rome, two separate American groups went in, one backed by Luka Doncic, no less. The other is connected to the man who owns the Houston Rockets. Mark Tatum, the NBA's deputy commissioner, said, "The level of engagement and the scale of the bids reflect the marketplace's belief in our proposed model and the enormous untapped potential for European basketball. This is no longer a concept. It's a market. And the money is extraordinary." I'm Stuart Hodge, this is The Crossover, and this is everything you need to know about NBA Europe.
Across languages, across leagues, across Europe. This is The Crossover, NBA Europe. Where basketball meets boardrooms, with Stuart Hodge.
Let's rewind to where this all started. On December the 22nd, 2025, the NBA and FIBA released a joint statement confirming what had been rumoured for months. They were actively engaging clubs and ownership groups to build a new professional basketball league in Europe. The key details from that announcement and from the Associated Press reporting that followed: a 16-team model, 12 permanent franchises, plus 4 spots open every year through a merit-based pathway, either via FIBA's Basketball Champions League or an end-of-season qualifying tournament. That final detail matters. It's the NBA's answer to Europe's fundamental sporting principle, that is, that every team should be able to earn its way right to the top. Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, described it as an enormous opportunity. Andreas Zagkalis, the FIBA Secretary General, said the format respects European sport model principles. And the target launch was mentioned, October 2027. The NBA also pledged financial support for domestic leagues, club academies, and player development programs. That's the carrot. We'll get to the stick later. A Christmas announcement doesn't happen by accident. The timing was strategic. Low news cycle, fewer hostile questions, time for the message to settle before the January engagement window opened. So that's the official position. Clean, diplomatic, carefully worded. But to understand what's happening, you need to follow the money. Here's where it gets serious. Before the deadline, CNBC reported franchise valuations north of $1 billion. Bloomberg separately reported entry fees starting at $500 million. The NBA's financial advisors, JP Morgan and the Rain Group, had met with more than 70 potential investors before that December announcement. Over 300 parties initially expressed interests. That was the setup. Now we know what actually happened. Sources close to the process have told The Crossover that the NBA received multiple bids within the $500 million to $1 billion range, with several exceeding that billion-dollar mark. In recent weeks, the NBA had productive conversations with more than a dozen existing basketball teams and received bids from multiple clubs, including existing EuroLeague teams. Now, let's put some names to everyone that was involved. It should be said, The Athletic's Joe Bardon reported more than 120 prospective investors described as serious. The fee structure is a sliding scale, depending on the market. London and Paris near the top, smaller cities a bit lower down. And every single bidder signed a non-disclosure agreement. Crucially, the bids included projected investments in infrastructure. So that's arenas, training facilities, the lot, really. Our sources described this as by far the most capital ever committed to European basketball. That's not hype. That's the assessment from inside the room. So let's put names to the cities then. London. They are connected and bid for by the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund, the same people behind LIV Golf. They've submitted a bid. That's per The Athletic. Paris. QSI, Qatar Sports Investments, who own PSG. Again, The Athletic. With that one, football money is crossing into the basketball court. Milan, now that's where it gets tasty. Gazzetta dello Sport's Conticello and Negro reported that both Redbird, who own AC Milan, and Oak Tree, who own Inter, submitted competing bids. A Milan derby for a basketball franchise. And Redbird's Jerry Cardinale has a personal relationship with Adam Silver, according to Gazzetta. But Oak Tree are already linked to JP Morgan and Rain, the NBA's own advisors, through their US operations. They've been talking to Olympia Milano about a partnership, possibly even a minority stake alongside the Armani Group. Redbird, without an Olympia deal, has been in discussions with Luis Scola, the former NBA player at Pallacanestro Varese, as an alternative club vehicle. Olympia themselves are staying in the EuroLeague, bound until 2036. So whoever wins the NBA Europe bid in Milan would be building alongside an existing top club. Two basketball teams in one city, just like football. And having covered the NBA Europe games in Berlin and London earlier this year, one thing that struck me was the NBA players' reactions in the room to the European fan culture. It's clear that the league wants to tap into that. And with that in mind, having two teams in one city is a real difference maker. As for Lyon, Tony Parker's Asvel submitted an application per L'Équipe. But The Athletic notes that Asvel would likely need to add partners to meet the NBA's asking price. Two previously interested investors have already withdrawn, according to another French periodical, Le Progrès. Even with the brand new LDLC arena, the money isn't easy there. Now here's the counterpoint. A third source told The Athletic that European bidders were questioning the NBA's proposed business plan and that weeks of contentious negotiations lie ahead. The money's there, but not everyone is convinced by the numbers. So the bids are in. But the most fascinating part of this story isn't who submitted. It's about who's about to blink. When I started working on this episode, the story was about a fight. It was the NBA versus the EuroLeague. New money against the old guard. Clean lines, easy narrative. But it's not that simple anymore. The EuroLeague has been the pinnacle of European club basketball for 26 years. It has 13 permanent shareholder clubs locked into long-term licenses. And in January 2026, it sent a legal threat letter to the NBA. Palios Montiunas, the outgoing EuroLeague CEO, told ESPN, "We've only heard the plan or the fireworks of how amazing it will be, how much potential there is. But having a theory is one thing, and making it work is two." He called the NBA's announcements a broken record. That was January. The tone has shifted since, and that reason for that tone shift has a name. It's Chus Bueno. Bueno became the EuroLeague's CEO in January 2026. He spent 12 years working for the NBA. The Athletic describes him as someone more open to collaboration than his predecessor, who rebuffed previous overtures from Silver. The NBA's negotiating team is expected to meet with Bueno later this month. Silver himself said last week, "I think for the betterment of European basketball, the best outcome would be if we came together with the EuroLeague here and that we come up with a systematic approach to growing the game throughout Europe." EuroHoops has reported that a 2014 joint competition format is under discussion. Gazzetta dello Sport goes further than that, saying that the NBA would want 51% control, a majority stake in the financial operation. The EuroLeague's clumps would be protected, the European tradition would be safeguarded, but the checkbook would be American. Don't mistake the language of cooperation for surrender. Sources close to the process have told The Crossover that the NBA and FIBA remain in active discussions with the EuroLeague and continue to pursue what they describe as a constructive, collaborative, and financially viable outcome. But our sources were equally clear on one point. The only way to guarantee a permanent spot in the league is through a successful bid. There will be no legacy passes, no grandfather clauses. You pay or you don't play. That puts pressure on the biggest basketball brands in Europe: Barcelona, Real Madrid, the Athens and Istanbul clubs. And here's the complication. EuroLeague teams in Paris and Milan aren't connected to the QSI and Redbird bids, so you could end up with NBA Europe franchises competing directly against existing EuroLeague clubs in the same city. Meanwhile, as all of that goes on, the EU Commission is still watching. Commissioner Glenn McAuliffe's warning about closed league models hasn't gone away. And the European Court of Justice's 2023 Football Super League ruling, which said governing bodies can't automatically block rival competitions, provides legal cover for the NBA, but it also allows conditions to be imposed. That legal territory is genuinely untested for basketball. So the fight is now becoming a negotiation. But let's not pretend that everyone's in the same room yet. Let's look at the map. Twelve target cities across seven countries. Sources close to the process have confirmed to The Crossover that there was competition across all 12 from a variety of different investor types. The Athletic named them: London, Paris, Rome, Milan, Barcelona, Madrid, Athens, Istanbul, Berlin, Munich, Lyon and Manchester. Start in Spain, Real Madrid, COPE reporting them at 99% committed. Silver has confirmed discussions. Barcelona is more complicated, extending with the EuroLeague but watching the situation. France, PSG's owners have submitted for Paris. That's Qatar Sports Investments. Now, sourced via The Athletic. Lyon has Asvel's confirmed application, Parker's US fund talks, and the LDLC Arena, a 12,000 to 16,000 seat venue that only opened in November 2023. The busiest market is Italy. Milan has the Redbird Oak Tree Derby, with Olympia Milano in play as a potential partner for Oak Tree. Rome has Nelson Matijašić, two groups racing to establish a franchise in a capital city that doesn't currently have top-tier professional basketball. Two cities, four competing bids. Italy could end up with multiple franchises. London has the Saudi PIF bid, serious money from the world's largest sovereign wealth fund. Germany has Berlin and Munich. Silver praised Alba Berlin as the model of the kind of club doing great work. And The Athletic confirms that Alba were preparing a bid, though they'd need partners to meet the price. Greece. Olympiakos and Panathinaikos have deep basketball traditions. Istanbul has Fenerbahce, and Manchester rounds out the 12. Sources close to the process have also told The Crossover that the NBA and FIBA will take a phased approach. Announcements about participating teams will happen on a rolling basis, not all at once. So don't expect one big reveal. This is going to drip out city by city, deal by deal. The map is ambitious, but ambition needs governance. And that's where this story gets really, really complicated. There's a fundamental tension at the heart of NBA Europe that nobody has resolved yet. In European sport, teams earn their place through performance. Win enough, you go up. Promotion. Lose enough, you go down. Relegation. That's the European sport model, built on promotion and relegation and sporting merits. The NBA model is different. Franchises buy in. They own permanent slots, no relegation, and it's a closed ecosystem designed for financial stability and long-term investment. NBA Europe is proposing a hybrid. 12 permanent franchises and 4 qualifying spots. But if the 24-team joint format with the EuroLeague gains traction, that structure could look completely different. And here's the power dynamic. Gazzetta reports that the NBA would want 51% control of any joint venture. The financial engine, therefore, would be American. The sporting tradition, though, would be European. Whether those two things can coexist is the billion-dollar question. The EU Commission isn't convinced by any of it. Commissioner McAuliffe specifically warned about closed league models. And I mentioned earlier the 2023 European Court of Justice ruling on the Super League was a massive one, and one that needs to be watched in basketball. This is only going to get more complicated and more dramatic, it would seem. And obviously, here on the Crossover NBA Europe, we'll be keeping across all of that. So what don't we know? There's still quite a lot, really. For all the progress, there are still major gaps. We don't know the final competition format. Is it 16 teams? Is it 24? Is it a joint venture with the EuroLeague or a rival league? The collaboration talks could change everything or collapse overnight. We know the fee range, $500 million to $1 billion on a sliding scale, but we don't know the exact terms, the payment structures, or the revenue-sharing model between the NBA, FIBA, and franchise owners. We have no details on player salary caps, draft systems, or roster rules. No media rights deals have been announced. We don't know which of the non-binding bids will convert into formal commitments. European bidders are questioning the business plan, per The Athletic. Not everyone who submitted will follow through once the real numbers land. We don't know whether Real Madrid will definitively leave the EuroLeague. Their license renewal deadline is June 2026. And the arena question still remains. Adam Silver flagged in February that building new arena infrastructure in Europe is badly needed. Building arenas takes years. October 2027 is just 18 months away. So that's the honest picture. The ambition is real. The money is real. The politics are messy, and the unknowns are still enormous. But here's what I will be watching. 1. The NBA's meeting with Chus Bueno, expected later this month. This is the first real test of whether EuroLeague-NBA cooperation is genuine or performative. If they leave that meeting with a framework for the 24-team format, everything changes. 2. The EuroLeague board meeting on April the 14th. Next season's format is on the agenda there, and their stance on collaboration with the NBA. If it's a hard no, then we're back to a legal fight. 3. Which bids survive? The sliding scale fee structure and the contentious negotiations flagged by The Athletic. should end up thinning that field. Watch who stays in the room when the real numbers land. 4. Real Madrid. Still the biggest domino. If Florentino Perez, the president, commits, then it validates the entire project. His EuroLeague licence renewal deadline is very much in the sights here. This summer could tell us a lot, or if it changes before then, just a couple of months away. And 5, the phased rollout. Sources close to the process have told the crossover that franchise announcements will come on a rolling basis. So that means the story will unfold over months, and every announcement therein should probably move the market. So, time to wrap up then, and I think before I go, we should talk a little bit about this show and why it exists. The NBA Europe story is being told in Italian, French, Spanish, German, Greek, Turkish, and loads of other languages besides, and bits of it as well, in English. Ironic that a Scotsman, therefore, is looking at all of that. Nobody's pulling it all together. That's the key. And that's what the crossover does. We talk to sources close to the process. We read Gazzetta and L'Equipe and The Athletic and Eurohoops and Copy and Basket News, so you don't have to keep eyes across every publication in every language. We connect the dots across those languages, leagues and boardrooms. This isn't a fan show, although fans can watch. It's not a hype show. It's an independent briefing for anyone who wants to understand the biggest sports expansion project of the 21st century. We're telling the story properly with sources that you can check. If you found this useful, subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. If you're watching on YouTube, please do hit the notification bell. And if you have a perspective on any of this, whether you're a fan, an investor, a player, or someone who's been involved with European basketball for decades, I want to hear from you. I'm Stuart Hodge. This is The Crossover, NBA Europe. See you next time.